Welcome to Your Family Dog, a podcast dedicated to helping families love living with dogs. Here are your hosts, Julie Fudge-Smith and Colleen Pilar.
Hi, welcome to Your Family Dog, a podcast dedicated to helping families love living with dogs. I'm Colleen Pilar, and I'm here today with Julie Fudge-Smith, and today we're talking about foodstuff toys, intelligence toys, ways to keep your dogs occupied in ways that make them happy and fun for them. So, Julie, you were telling me a story about a time that Stuffed Kong saved your life. Would you care to share that with everybody?
It was a Thanksgiving, and we had our three large dogs, and then we had a large dog visitor. So I had somewhere topping 300 pounds worth of dog wandering around my house. Plus, I had my grandkids and all my kids, and the house was very busy and active. And one of the problems I faced was, how was I going to manage all these dogs during the day, and especially during Thanksgiving dinner time? So that became the real challenge for us. And what we found was that Kongs were a real integral part. It wasn't the only part, but it was a very integral part of the strategy.
It does sound like quite a complicated day. And the one thing we all know is that holidays and family events, you know, behavior deteriorates under stress. We're all a little bit stressed. There's a lot going on. So when we can find strategies that make it easier to manage everything, that helps everyone.
Yes. And in fact, think about the number of times that, like, when you're stressed, when it's nice to have something that you can do that makes you feel a little less stressed. One of the things that I like to do at holidays is I will take either my needlepoint with me or my quilting. So I have something to do with my hands to relieve some of that stress of being so intimate with my close relatives. So
it is that whole idea of having something specific to do. I was talking to a friend the other day who was having a problem, and I said, I just feel so awful because all I can do is say, I'm really sorry this is happening, and I would love to be able to take action, you know? But there wasn't really an action that I could do in that moment. So having a very specific, you know, what is my outlet in this moment? What can I do? Giving a dog a stuffed Kong gives them something to do, and it's fun and enjoyable and delicious for them. So any sort of intelligence toy where you can give your dog an outlet can be a really handy thing. So tell us a little bit how you manage the strategy. Do you just give everybody Kongs and let them wander around with them, or what did you do?
No, what we decided was that we needed to create safe spaces for each of the dogs, some place that they could have easy access to on their own, so if they wanted to get away from the hubbub, they could do that. And then we had four designated spots, one for each of the dogs, so that if we felt like we needed to move somebody out of the way, we had a place to take them. So my office was one of them. I have a gate on my office door, so that was one spot. And we put him in my husband's office upstairs. That was another spot. One was in our bedroom, and I think the other one was in the guest bedroom. And in each one of those spots, we had a comfortable bed for the dog. We had, I think in a couple of them, we had some, I put some lavender on the bed to make it a little bit more relaxing. I made sure there was a bowl of water for each one of them in the room. And then when we came to Thanksgiving, we designated a room for each one of the dogs. And they each got two things. They each got a stuffed Kong and an intelligence toy. Because one of the things about the stuffed Kong is that's the one that you lay down and you really work on. Although my dog on occasion would throw it in the air in order to make all the kibble come flying out, which was a great deal of fun. But that
nice thumping sound of Thanksgiving.
Yeah, that's right. What is that going on upstairs?
Well, it's the dog.
It's just the dog. But in general, dogs tend to settle down to eat those. So, but I also wanted them to have something active to do so that if they needed to sort of, some people need to move. Some dogs need to move when they're upset. So we had things like PetSafe makes a variety of toys. There are lots of interactive toys out there. I think one dog had what we called a kibble nibble, which looks like a purple football, and you screw it apart, put the food inside, and you have to roll it around. One dog had a Buster Cube, which is literally a square that you put the food in, and they have to bat it around, and it comes out randomly. One of them had a Twist and Treat, which looks like a purple flying saucer. And then I think Bingley had his magic mushroom, which is not what we did in college, but instead is a plastic mushroom that you put the food in and you have to flip it around. So each dog had an active intelligence toy and what I consider to be a more passive intelligence toy. And that really kept each of the dogs happy for about 30 minutes so we could get through dinner.
And the real important point with having these separate areas for the dogs and the toys and the beds and the water and all that is that you're giving them a down space, a quiet area, and that's a gift. I mean, so often people say, this is my dog's house. I don't want to put him away when company comes. Yes, but does your dog want to be a part of all this? So you didn't actually ask your dog, should we invite all the guests over? Once you invited all the guests over, then we need to say, what's going to make this dog happy? And sometimes that's giving him a half an hour in a bedroom all by himself to have a little decompression time. So it should always be considered a gift, not a punishment.
Right. And one of the reasons why people may wonder, well, why did you have four separate spots? Well, we had a guest dog. And as much as I knew the dog, I wasn't sure how much stress would deteriorate behavior between dogs. So I really thought it would be important for each dog to have his own space so he could do whatever he wanted to with his intelligence toys without having to look over his shoulder and seeing if his canine brother was about to pounce upon his Kong or his other. And I kind of thought, I know my three dogs are usually pretty good together. We can give them all a Kong in the same room. But I thought, but why chance it? Why add any more stress to their day? And why not give them a chance to just really play with their toys the way they want to without anybody else interfering with it? And that actually worked out really well. And then there were other times, like, and then when it came dessert time, we thought, well, we don't want them all eating the pumpkin pie either. So we put them back in their spaces, but what we did was we rotated the dogs. So they had a different space to go to. So now it was, well, it was still a comforting spot. It was a little bit more interesting because I haven't been in this spot before.
Yeah.
And so they got another Kong for that. And what I basically did was there were no meals out of bowls that day. Every single, I divided their food up for the day and put it into intelligence toys or Kongs or other things like that so that every single piece of their food came out of an intelligence toy that day. And it really worked well because I could then space their meals out over the day. They never got ravenously hungry. They never really started food searching per se because one Easter when I didn't do that, they actually took the roast lamb off the dining room table. We all got up from the table and I went back to get the roast. And the aluminum foil was exactly the way it was when I left it. But I picked up the platter and I went, this is really light. And I looked under the aluminum foil, which had been carefully realigned back in the way, and there was no bone. There was no leg of lamb. So
painful lessons are powerful teachers.
They really are. And I thought to myself, you know, Julie, if you had been paying attention to feeding your dogs throughout the day and they weren't ravenous, maybe you would have that leg of lamb for leftovers. So
So tell me a little bit. You've planned all this in advance.
I did.
And one of the objections people have sometimes is that it seems like it takes too long to fill Kongs or to, you know, plan for the intelligence toys or stuff things. So tell me how much time you spent ahead of time to prepare and how much downtime it gave your dogs throughout the day. So, you know, investment of work versus benefit.
Great question. Well, one of the things that we did is I happen to own, I have a small fortune invested in Kongs. I think I have somewhere around 12. Now, I can only usually find three or four at any given time because they're in various places. But I think it was a couple of days before Thanksgiving, we rounded up all the Kongs and all the intelligence toys and made a decision about who we thought would do best with which toy. So that didn't take that long. But that was kind of fun, trying to figure out who's going to get what. And then I think it was the night before Thanksgiving, my daughter Emma and I stuffed all the Kongs. And what we did was we took kibble, and we took some wet food, and we mixed that all together. And then we had some spray cheese and some peanut butter and some, you know, leftover chicken and stuff. And we just lined the Kongs up and stuffed them with whatever we had. They think they each got some of the kibble and wet food. They each got a couple pieces of a small chicken, a little bit of spray cheese. We plugged it all with peanut butter and threw them all in the freezer so that they were frozen overnight. So the next morning, now these are dogs who are very experienced with Kongs. If your dog is not experienced with Kong, I don't suggest you give them immediately a frozen Kong because they're harder and it can be very frustrating. But these are dogs who were really used to Kongs. And if I don't stuff them, I mean, I'm getting 30 seconds out of these dogs if I don't freeze them. And then in the morning, what we did was I think we just measured out their food and filled all the intelligence toys. And I have a pull-out drawer where I keep their food. And we just put all the intelligence toys back in that drawer so that the dogs couldn't get at them, take them off the counter. So I would say the time to stuff the Kongs, 40 minutes maybe, to stuff 12 Kongs.
Perfect.
And fill intelligence toys, probably 10 minutes because it's basically opening them up, pouring the food in, sealing them back up again. So maybe an hour investment of time total in doing all of those toys. And what did it give me? It gave me a full day of people saying, wow, these dogs are really well behaved. Well, yeah, because they're well managed. I'm not sure their behavior was all that great, but they were very well managed that day. And Emma and I had actually in the beginning had decided where are the dogs going to be most comfortable in the first places? Who's going to go where, when? So we also came up with kind of a schedule. And if we needed to remove a dog, where was his primary spot going to be? So that planning probably took us a half an hour, maybe, to plan those things out. And then to implement it on Thanksgiving Day didn't take much time because we had done that planning in advance. And right. So it didn't take us long to get each dog into his particular environment. And each one of us could get, we each took two dogs, and I would say we could get them into their spots, two dogs into two spots in 10 minutes. Yeah. At maximum. So, and it really did give us a lovely dinner. We I don't think we heard a peep out of anybody during dinner. We must have sat down for 30 to 40 minutes at dinner. So, it worked out very well. And then everybody got rotated outside to go to the bathroom and
that run around and
yeah,
let the crazies out.
That's
right. We all need to do on Thanksgiving. Yeah. So when you said there about, having multiple Kongs, it made me picture my freezer because I have 8 Kongs. So that I only fill Kongs once a week. And it buys me that 8th one is my wiggle room. So I could do it first or I could do it less. You know, like I'm never going, ah. Now, am I always good and consistent? No. Occasionally I'm like, ah, today I have to do the Kongs right now. But it is lovely. And I tell people that I think a bunch of Kongs, a week's worth of Kongs, is a lovely baby gift. I really believe this. A week's worth of Kongs is a lovely baby gift. And then another lovely baby gift is to mix up Kong stuffing and put it in a big Ziploc bag and deliver that periodically to the family. So either you fill their Kongs for them or you've just given them a gallon bag of goo that they can squeeze into these Kongs, throw into their freezer, and then anytime they want a Kong to just say to a dog, here you go, baby. You just sit in the corner and be happy and chew on this. It's a sanity saver for new parents.
Love that idea. Absolutely love that idea.
And everybody's always saying, you know, how can I help? How can I help? I'm like, stuff some Kongs. That's how you can help. It's a really good thing. So figuring out your dog's level of, you know, being able to get food out of a toy is an important piece. So
absolutely.
You definitely need to start easy for the dogs who don't know how to do this at all.
Yeah, and some dogs learn it much faster than others, and some dogs really rise to the challenge. Now, I know,
yes.
Like, Bingley, for him, the challenge was the whole thing. When he would move his kibble nibble or his Buster cube around, he would roll it and the food would come out and the other dogs would follow behind him and eat the food. Because mm-hmm. Bingley was not as interested in the food as he was in the activity.
Right.
Now, Buckley, on the other hand, was, this is really hard. I can't do a wobble. Like, Kong has a giant wobble toy that you can put food in it's kind of like a Weeble wobble toy. Remember?
Yeah.
Weeble people wobble, but they don't fall down. Well, it's a giant Kong, and it does the same thing. And Buckley would just stare at it and go, why isn't the food coming out of it? He could not figure it out. Well, Bingley would go over and go, swat! And the food would go flying. And so I think Buckley learned, well, Bingley's not here. How is it supposed to work? So you may have to experiment a little bit, too.
Yes. Yeah. So in addition to thinking about, you know, how willing is your dog to work at these, we also want to look at how willing are you to work at those. So the Kongs right. you just described had a whole bunch of ingredients in them, and they were all lovely, delicious things that dogs enjoy. But a Kong can have a single ingredient. I mean, you
absolutely.
Can put just a smear of peanut butter inside. My little secret Kong stuffing tip, my world's fastest long-term Kong, is take a piece of bread and microwave it for 20 seconds so that you now have Play-Doh bread, and you smush it into the Kong. And then you hand it to the dog, who cannot chew this bread out. They have to kind of lick it out. It's impossible, but it's low calorie. Very few dogs have a wheat allergy, but those who do, obviously you'll know that. And it takes you 30 seconds. So 20 seconds of microwaving and 5 seconds of squeezing and 5 seconds of stuffing, and your dog is happy for hopefully several minutes that you could work toward this. So just sort of looking at, like, in an emergency, what's my really quick Kong stuffing tip? It's squirt cheese or peanut butter. Right. What about you?
Well, I was thinking that I remember that the, you had mentioned to me several years ago about the heel of the bread, but you hadn't mentioned the microwave part. So what I do is I take a heel of bread, I put a smear of peanut butter on it, smoosh it up, and stuff it in the Kong. I never thought about nuking it. And that works really nice because now if your dog doesn't really care about bread, I do care very much about the peanut butter. So that's another mm-hmm. quick one. I've also found if your dog likes vegetables, carrots go in Kongs pretty well. And
yeah.
that, and you can use the little tiny carrots. You can either stuff some of those in there. Bingley, he loved cold Wendy's French fries. And so when I had, like, you know, when my grandkids were over and they left French fries on the table, those didn't get thrown out. Those got put in a Kong.
I have put leftover fries in a Kong, too. And definitely when my kids were little, most of what was left on their plates, you know, if it was okay for a dog, you get it in a Kong. Just stuff that in.
But I have been in
restaurants where I look at people's plate and I'm like, that looks Kong-worthy. Do you mind if I take it? You know, when they're going to just throw it away, it's not enough they're going to take home and eat later. So the doggy bag is quite literally going home to my doggy to be in a Kong, not just free-fed to him. Like, here, he'd love that, but he'd love it even more to get it out of something.
Well, that's the other thing I do, too, is I have little containers of leftovers in the refrigerator that are strictly dog. Like, for example, if I roast a chicken... and my husband will be deboning it. He knows that there is two piles. There's the dog pile of chicken, and there's the people pile of chicken. And then the dog pile of chicken goes into a Ziploc bag, or it goes into some sort of Tupperware container. And so that's also really handy. So sometimes what I'll do is I'll just grab a Kong, throw some kibble in the bottom, put a few pieces of doggy chicken, use some kibble on top. Once again, it's like a 5-minute stuff. So if you are thinking in terms of, wow, that's Kong-worthy, then you always have that stuff available and easy, and I like to do that a lot. The other thing I was going to say, too, this is another quick and easy sort of intelligence toy, is I will do a kibble hunt. So if my dogs have been bored all day, I haven't had a chance to get out and do as much with them, if it's a nice day, I will take 2 or 3 cups of kibble, go out on my patio, and just throw it in the air, and it goes... Mm-hmm. everywhere. And so they will now spend 20 minutes on a kibble hunt. So that's a kind of another type of intelligence toy that's just really, and people look at me and I say, and they go, what if it goes in the grass? I said, all the better. You have to hunt even more for it.
Yeah. So, I think it's great.
Yeah. So I've learned.
There's a new toy now too called a snuffle mat that kind of takes advantage of that concept. And so I don't have a snuffle mat yet. That's on my little wish list for my dog. But it's like a rubber mat and pieces of fleece are pulled through. It reminds me of those old hook
rugs.
Rug prime team used to do. So the fleece comes through and it gets tied really tightly. So you have this really tight cluster of fleece and then you just spread the kibble in and it gets embedded between the knots. And the dog has to snuffle through and find all of the pieces.
I want one.
It's really kind of fun.
Yeah.
I know. Here we are. We're wishing for snuffle mats. So now anyone who loves us knows what to get for Christmas.
That's right. Well, the other thing is the other thing I started doing too, because I was not nearly as good as you are at stuffing Kongs all the time. But one of the things that I was good at is getting my dogs to the interesting meals. So one of the things that I would do is I bought from, there's a company called Kaijin, and they have a wide variety of sort of intelligence bowls. There's spirals, and there's waves, and there's a flower pattern.
Yeah.
And there's another one by Northmate that has a bunch of, looks sort of like grass humps. And I got those. And so what we would do for, if I didn't have time to stuff a Kong, I always could fill one of their bowls with something like that. And that's how Bingley, who was a pretty picky eater, wouldn't just eat a bowl of kibble. But if I put it in one of the intelligence toy bowls,
right,
he would eat. And it was also a really terrific way to get Buckley, the burner, who was a very fast eater and prone towards bloat because he's a big barrel-chested dog, get him to slow down so that instead of being a 5-second meal, it was a 10-minute meal. So that's another quick and easy way to give your dog some mental stimulation while using their food is just to get a creative bowl.
Yeah, and I think, again, that's a really important point of that there is a fun element to working for it. And we forget that sometimes, but they've done studies where they've had free fed options and work for options, and the food is the same. The reward is the same. Mm-hmm. And the animals are more interested in the work for ones. But so are we. Like, if somebody gave you a crossword puzzle and then the list of words to fill in, how many of us would fill in all the words into those blocks? You have all the answers. We like the puzzle of how does that work? Let me think about that. You know, so having a little bit of a challenge is mentally very stimulating.
Right.
And then that's good for our brains. It's good for our health. It's good for our lives. So that's
and it's good for the brain, the health, and the life of your dog. And
yeah.
Mental stimulation is also terrific, too, because if you don't have a chance to get out and perhaps get your dog for that long walk, you can give them some mental stimulation. That's another way for them to sort of think about how
right.
tired you can be at the end of a day when you've worked really hard and used your brain. Same thing mm-hmm. for our dogs. So
absolutely.
So I think we kind of covered about, you know, what we use them, but what are some of the alternative uses, do you think, for Kongs?
Oh, well, there's millions of them because, no. I mean, basically we just said they're good for all of life. But just like off the top of my head, crate training, helping a dog feel comfortable and secure in a crate. And one of the real important skills that I think every dog needs to have that has just come up twice with clients in this last week is having your dog be happy in another room from you when you're home. And
yes.
we're really good at training dogs to be comfortable when we're not there, but when we're home, then the dog is, you know, digging at the laundry room door. So a food stuffed toy is great for that kind of thing. But car trips or you know, going and meeting a friend at Starbucks and you're sitting outside and you can just give your dog a treat to just lay down beside you and keep him busy for a little bit. There's all sorts of things. What are some of the ideas you have?
Well, one of the things that I recommend for people whose dogs have to stay at the groomers all day is send a couple of stuffed Kongs so that
that's
the dog is not stuck just sitting in the crate watching his best friend get his whiskers trimmed. You know, give them something to do if your groomer is willing to go along with that. I used to do it. I would take, when I took my kids to the playground, sometimes what I would do is lift the hatch on my van, tether my dog in there, and give him a Kong to settle down mm-hmm. while the kids played on the playground. So, and he would have a bowl, and I'd take him out and walk him around. But he was perfectly comfortable being settled and making sure that, of course, it was cool enough because the doors and the windows and stuff were open. But he would stay in there. Dinner time. Remember our very first podcast on mealtime management? We talked about one of the solutions that my clients used in order for them to be able to sit down at dinner was to give their dog some intelligence toys, including a stuffed Kong and a kibble nibble, much like I did for Thanksgiving. If you want to have
right.
settle down and have movie time, you know, family movie time, you got popcorn, give your dog a Kong so he can settle down and join with the movie.
Mm-hmm.
When your kids are playing on the floor, the dog may want to be in the room, but you don't want him right on top of the Monopoly game. So maybe even tether him in the corner with a Kong so he's on
yeah.
his rug and he's got a Kong.
Yeah, there's so many uses for them. I mean, really, it can be anything. Another good example would be any dog who has sort of a health issue, either like you were saying about Buckley, we don't want him to eat too fast, but even a dog who's been ill or, you know, has any sort of hip or issue where we can't really walk the dog as much as
right.
we normally do when they're getting better in
right.
recovery, give them something to do that's a little bit lower energy, but still mentally challenging and something physically to do, a nice stress reliever.
Yes. When Bingley had his ACL tear and then the bone split around one of the screws the day he was supposed to get his stitches out. So he had to have a second surgery. This was one of the longest things ever. And the vet, in order to make sure that the bone stayed in place, not only did he do a second surgery, he put him in a cast. And so Bingley mm-hmm. looked like this peg leg. He didn't know how to move with this cast on. It took him forever to figure out how to. And then in the course of 6 weeks, four weeks, he had six different casts. Because one he got in his water bowl, and one the vet didn't like the way it looked, and one it rubbed him the wrong way. And so we were constantly going in and getting new casts, which everybody would then sign. But it made it really difficult for Bing. So one of the things we did
yeah.
was a lot of stuffed Kongs and a lot of different kinds of stuffed Kongs so that he had something to do. I just sit here and worry about my poor leg, which I think I have a leg, but I don't know anymore, you know?
Yeah.
So that was
yeah.
Very helpful. And I was thinking, too, about dogs who have to be treated for heartworm. It's really mm-hmm. important to keep your dog on their heartworm med. Prevention is so important because the cure for heartworm is devastating. It means your dog has to be crated for something like 3 months. No movement, because you don't want to disturb the heartworms, because if they get into the system, then the chances of your dog surviving are not so good. So that's another thing. If you have a dog that has a long-term health problem, you need to figure out ways for him to stay mentally healthy.
So thank heavens for all those pet companies out there making some good intelligence toys for our dogs and foodstuff toys that we can easily fill and keep our dogs busy without it being too much trouble for us.
That's right. And but also, too, I wanted to remind people that you can get creative and come up with your own. I mean, like the kibble hunt that I did on the patio. Mm-hmm. I had one client who created one called Mr. Parmesan. And what they did was they had an old Parmesan cheese container. So they taped the lid down. I can't remember what kind of tape they used, but it was pretty solid. The side that opened up, it's a poor side. Then they just took the part off with the three holes, and they put kibble in there. And he loved this toy. He would throw it in the air, and it made this great crunching noise. And it lasted for about 6 weeks, and then finally Mr. Parmesan broke, so they just gave him a new one. And mm-hmm. I thought that was a really terrific intelligence toy that didn't cost a whole lot of money. So
yeah.
That was pretty fun.
I had a Yorkie that's using an empty Kleenex box, a square Kleenex box that has a little bit of plastic kind uh-huh. of covering the, and her owner just puts a few pieces of kibble in it. But since she's a Yorkie, the box is as big as she is. So she's like knocking the box around to try to get a few pieces of kibble to fall out of her Kleenex box. And sooner or later, she'll rip either the plastic or the box. And then, you know, she yeah. has that taken away. But this lady, she's lovely. When she says, I just like to watch her think. And I think, yes, I like to watch her think too. But I love that you're willing to let your dog shred something up. She told me she should be in the CIA. She's the best shredder ever. And I thought, yay for people who love their dogs and give them an outlet for their energy and all those kinds of things. So intelligence toys are really a way of channeling some of that in fun ways for dogs. And right. so fun for us to watch.
It is. And, you know, when you were talking about the Kleenex box, one of the things that I did with all of my dogs is when the cereal box was empty, I would put like a milk bone biscuit in the cereal box and just close it up and give it to them. Mm-hmm. And boy, they just love shredding that cereal box and finding, you know, a toy in there. One of the things I also did for my dogs for Christmas, for the two retrievers, is I found, we have a little university here in Granville, and I talked to the tennis coach, and he gave me 200 used tennis balls.
So, oh, wow.
Yeah. So I got two big boxes, put 100 tennis balls each in the box, and then I got a box of biscuits, split it up, buried it in there, and then put a couple of squeaky toys in there, and then wrapped it up, and that was their Christmas present.
Do you have any photos of that?
I don't. I'm sorry, but it was hysterical. We gave them each their box, and they're like, oh, my goodness, I can smell tenster balls, and I can smell treats. And so the paper came off, and I only lightly taped them together. The
right.
box came open, and we had 200 tennis balls around our house on that Christmas morning. But they
How
had a
fun.
Blast, and it lasted them forever, because you had to dive in, and I Bingley loved cuzzes, so I put a couple of cuzzes in his at the very bottom. So he put his head in, all the way into these tennis balls, down to the bottom to find that cuz to pull it out. And, the whole thing, the 200 free tennis balls, two packing boxes, a box of treats, and a few other toys, I think I kept these dogs happy for almost a full day for something around $20. So
yeah.
It was great.
And anytime you're searching for something in a mix, things move around.
Oh,
and so even
yeah.
when you're sure it's empty, there's
no.
always one more, you know?
There's always more.
We've all had that experience ourselves, where we're just like, ah, there's another one. Who knew? I thought I got all of them. Nope. Well, I think we've kind of covered the topic of intelligence toys. What do you think? Is there anything we forgot to say that we wanted to say?
No, I don't think so, except that there will be links on the show notes. I've written two or three blogs on intelligence toys, so I will put links to those in there.
And we'll put in links to some of the toys that we've mentioned here.
Right, absolutely.
As well, so you can see specifically what some of these things are.
Right, and most of the things that we have mentioned, you can find on Amazon and
mm-hmm.
At pretty good prices. Another place that I have found a great deal of toys and treats that I like is Chewy.com. So that's
yep.
another good place. And they have a great delivery, automatic delivery cycle. So These are pretty easy to find, and oftentimes any high-end pet store near you will carry a lot of intelligence toys that may be different.
Yeah, and
than
often
the ones you mentioned.
Some different ones.
Yeah.
Some ones that you're not seeing everywhere. So, you know, go into your local boutique shop and see what they've got, because you will often see something that you don't find anywhere
yes,
else.
Yes, and then you too can have your bookkeeper tell you, you know, Julie, do you understand how much you spent on dog treats and toys? And I'll say, yes, this is, you know, a year and a half you've been telling me this. You can stop now. So.
It makes us happy.
It does.
It makes them happy, and it makes us happy, so it's money well spent.
That's right. My husband still hasn't quite figured out that I would much rather have a new intelligence toy than a piece of jewelry.
Oh, so. Yeah. Yeah, here we are, wishing for snuffle mats for Christmas. So.
That's right. Yeah. I just really want one. All right, Colleen, I think that's great.
We hope you all find some fun things for your dog to really enjoy.
And so that you end up loving dogs just as much as we do, and find that there's nothing better than life with a dog. So thanks,
nothing
Colleen.
Better. Thanks.
We'll see
Bye.
You next week. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to Your Family Dog. Got questions? Interesting ideas? Colleen and Julie would love to hear them. Call 614-349-1661 or visit www.yourfamilydogpodcast.com to share your thoughts.
If you enjoyed the show, please tell a friend about it. We'd love to reach people who feel as we do, that life is better with a dog.